Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Jesus wrote those words of warning to the church in Smyrna, a first century congregation that was about to suffer much for their faith in Christ. Should the church be prepared for a time of intense persecution today? The answer is yes. The persecution of Christians around the world is part of a larger spiritual battle. Even in America, people have become tolerant of everything but Christianity. So be encouraged. The crown of life awaits those who are faithful to Jesus until death. I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
Here in America, the church has begun to suffer, if not outright persecution, at least some degree of prejudice. Might it get worse in our lifetime? Hello, I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for stopping by for today's Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. The short answer is yes. The treatment of Bible-believing Christians here at home may very well grow worse in the coming years. With that in mind, Ron has three critical lessons to teach us today as he continues his teaching series, Ready for His Return, based on Revelations chapter 1-3. Stay with us now or come see us at somethinggoodradio.org to listen on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. From Revelation chapter 2, here's Ron with part 2 of his Something Good Radio message, Smyrna, the Persecuted Church.
Nobody's going to applaud you for your faith. It may cost you something. Don't be surprised by that. It may cost you friendships. It may cost you the next promotion. It may cost you something. In the first century, throughout church history, even in the Old Testament, many paid the ultimate price. It cost Polycarp his life as the flames engulfed him. Jesus knew this, and he reminded his disciples there in the upper room, John 15 and verse 20. A servant is not greater than his master, he writes. If they persecuted me, Jesus said, they will also persecute you. He was telling his disciples back then, don't be surprised by this. He also said in John 16, verse 33, there in the upper room again, if in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I love that idea of being an overcomer. Every letter of the seven letters addresses the overcoming. I'm fighting a battle. He's already won, we sang. That's the voice of the overcomer. And Jesus says, take heart, I have overcome. And we fight battles, don't we? We fight battles with the world, the flesh, and the devil. We fight battles with an increasingly secularized culture in which we live. But that's when the gospel can shine. And you can sing with great hope like an overcomer. I'm fighting a battle he has already won. That's a great way to think about it. Secondly, not only don't be surprised by persecution, but do not fear persecution. Look at what Jesus said again to the church at Smyrna. Revelation 2 and verse 10. He says, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And for 10 days, he says, you will have tribulation. Well, fear not, or something like that, is one of the most common commands in the scripture, probably because we're so easily overtaken by anxiety and fear. We get in the grip of fear rather easily. Counselors tell us is on the rise. We came out of the pandemic and all of that, and people are just kind of caught up with a lot of fear, and they're anxious about a lot of things. The devil is a fearmonger. Jesus mentions twice in his letter to the church at Smyrna the devil, Satan. And fear is one of Satan's favorite fiery darts. He shoots fear and anxiety into our hearts regularly. And it appears in the letter that the devil kind of has his way with Smyrna. You know, he's just kind of, you know, steamrolling right over them. But according to Jesus, the evil one's reign of terror is limited to 10 days. Back to the 10 days. What does that mean, especially in light of the long history of religious persecution in Smyrna? Well, it's probably referring to the isolated time 2,000 years ago. And I take a little bit of encouragement here that Jesus said, yeah, 10 days, not 9 days, not 11 days. No, the devil only gets 10 days. And we need to understand Jesus has sovereign control over the devil. He's on a leash, even though sometimes he's given an opportunity to bring a reign of terror upon us. No amount of suffering, we might say, ever touches God's children without his precise permission or his knowledge. In the specific case 2,000 years ago with the believers in Smyrna, 10 days. That's all he gets. And then there was a promise of hope after that. Number three, remain loyal to Jesus no matter the cost. Don't be surprised by persecution. Don't fear persecution. And remain loyal to Jesus no matter the cost. Let's go on in verse 10. He says, be faithful unto death. Again, ominous words, sobering words. Not words that any of us want to anticipate or bring upon us. Be faithful unto death. How tempting it would be to deny Jesus, to save your own life. Polycarp, when given the chance, hey, listen, dude, all you have to do is deny Jesus. Sacrifice to Caesar. Caesar is Lord. And Polycarp said no. He said no. Faithful unto death. In those dire moments that test our faith, will you remember that, Jesus gave his own life to save yours. If you save your life, you'll lose it, Jesus says. If you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. It takes faith to faithfully love Jesus even when he allows life-threatening persecution to come our way. And we have great heroes of the faith like Polycarp and others to inspire us. And finally, and here's a way to end on kind of a positive note. You know, don't be surprised by persecution. Don't fear persecution. Remain loyal to Jesus no matter the cost. And then finally, reach for your reward. The letter to the church in Smyrna is not all gloom and doom. It actually points us to the fact that God rewards those who, by faith, diligently seek him. You know, the writer of Hebrews tells us that at the beginning of the great Hall of Faith chapter, that God exists and he rewards those who diligently seek him by faith. And in his letter to the church at Smyrna, Jesus makes this clear back to verse 10 by saying, be faithful unto death. Now listen to this. And I will give you the crown of life. Yeah. Be faithful unto death. And there's a reward waiting you. What is the crown of life? Well, it's one of five crowns or eternal rewards that are mentioned in the New Testament. And the crown of life is given to those who, according to Revelation chapter 2, endure persecution of any kind. And then it's mentioned again in James chapter 1 given also to those who resist temptation. You will be given the crown of life, an eternal reward. Other crowns in the New Testament include the crown of rejoicing for those who win souls by leading others to faith in Christ. The crown of righteousness is for those who live the Christian life with integrity and also who eagerly wait for the appearing of Jesus, who just stand ready for his return and are loving and anticipating his return. I love that one. The crown of glory is for, ministry leaders. Think of pastors and missionaries and elders and deacons and other lay leaders who serve well the body of Christ. Peter says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 4 that the crown of glory does not fade away. And then there's another crown, the incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is for those who run the Christian race well, a well-disciplined life. Now, these crowns are eternal rewards. By the way, do you know that God has a reward program? I love all the reward programs, the airlines and the hotels and, you know, the things you get through credit cards and all that. I mean, we pile up as many reward points as we can get. God has a reward program, an eternal reward program that is literally out of this world. And those rewards will be handed out at what is called the judgment seat of Christ. Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, we, believers, must all appear before the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. Now, it's not a judgment to determine whether we get into heaven. It's an award ceremony where what you have done with your time, talent, treasure, the stewardship he has entrusted to you, will be tested. Some will be tested with fire and it will turn out to be wood, hay, and stubble. Others, gold, silver, and precious stones. And I believe the judgment seat of Christ happens in heaven during the seven-year tribulation period. While tribulation is happening on earth, the raptured church is in heaven worshiping and going through the reward ceremony. Somebody once compared the reward ceremony, the judgment seat of Christ, to sound like kind of like a high school graduation. Everybody, you know, gets a diploma. Some graduate with honors. And the rewards in heaven, the crowns, will also be tied to responsibilities in the future millennial kingdom and the eternal state. So all of that leads me to say heaven will be heaven for everybody who is there by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll be more heavenly for some because they were faithful unto death and received the crown of life or some other crown.
We'll be right back with more of today's Something Good message from Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Would you like to have a more passionate prayer life? If so, here's a resource that can help. Ron's latest full-length book, The Jesus Way to Pray, an intimate journey through the Lord's Prayer. Join Ron as he guides you phrase by phrase through the power and beauty of the Lord's Prayer. That's The Jesus Way to Pray, an intimate journey through the Lord's Prayer. Order your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with a friend by requesting a 2-pack for $50, a 4-pack for $75, or an 8-pack for $150 or more. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099 or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. Now let's get you back to the rest of today's Something Good radio message, Smyrna, the persecuted church. Once again, here's Dr. Ron Jones.
Now, Jesus also encouraged the persecuted church in Smyrna by saying this, verse 11, the one who conquers, there it is, the one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. What's he talking about there? Now, for some, following Jesus will lead to the loss of physical life. That was certainly true with Polycarp and many others, as the blood of martyrs throughout church history testifies, and even as we read in Scripture. However, true believers will be spared from the second death. What is the second death? Well, it's only mentioned in Revelation chapter 2 and in Revelation chapter 20. So turn to chapter 20. And chapter 20 begins with the second judgment that is future, the judgment seat of Christ for believers. I explained that. The other judgment is called the Great White Throne Judgment. This is for unbelievers, and it's a sobering, sobering picture painted in Revelation chapter 20. And in verses 14 and 15, it says, then death and Hades, along with all unbelievers, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Goes on to say in verse 15, and if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. The second death is eternal separation from God forever in a place called hell. It is the just punishment all unbelievers receive as they appear before the great white throne of God at the final judgment. Now, true believers will never experience this. This was the promise Jesus gave to the believers in Smyrna. I think of it this way. A true believer is a born-again believer in Jesus. You see, you not only have to be born physically, right? We've all gone through that. But Jesus said to a guy named Nicodemus, you must also be born again. Because that part of you that was created to have a relationship with God is dead on arrival. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. So a born-again believer in Jesus is somebody who's born twice. You're born physically, but you got to be born again. You got to be born spiritually through faith in Christ. And if you're born twice, you die once, physically. But if you're only born once, physically, but you're never born again, you'll be born once and die twice. You'll die a physical death and a spiritual death, something the Bible calls the second death. If that latter part describes you, make today a day of salvation. Come to the cross of Christ. Be born again. You're not born again by trying harder. No, Jesus did everything we need that needs to be done for us to be born spiritually and rightly related with God. It's faith that it requires. Just place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Polycarp, the bishop of Smyrna, died once. He died once in the flames of persecution. He suffered greatly on earth for his faith in Jesus. But as soon as the fire engulfed his life, he slipped into the eternal presence of his Savior and was more alive than he had ever been. And this is why Jesus could say to the believers in Smyrna, great suffering and persecution is coming and poverty, but you are rich. Oh, you may be impoverished through persecution in this life, or you know somebody who has been in other parts of the world, or you read about it in church, impoverished from the world's perspective, but you are eternally rich in Jesus Christ, in part because the crown of life is yours. And I don't know what all that means in terms of God's reward program, but believe me, it is out of this world, the rewards that are coming to those who serve him faithfully, especially those who endure well times of persecution. And to embrace that with hope requires faith. It requires an eternal perspective. It requires, I think, the ability to embrace what the Apostle Paul said elsewhere. Set your affections on things above, not on things on this earth. All this is fading away, all but the Word of God and souls. A new world is coming. Get ready for His return. Get ready for His return may mean get ready for some persecution. I don't know if it's going to be like the flames Polycarp endured, but I just know there's a growing bias in our culture against Christianity. You stand up and say you're a Jesus follower today, you better be prepared for somebody to attack. And it's getting, more and more difficult. Is this what we can expect as we get closer and closer to the end of the age? Well, you read the scriptures and one would think that we're coming back to that first century culture into which the church was born and thrived under persecution. Because you read Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you are my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Then quickly read Acts 8:1, and persecution came to the church. Why? Because they were all huddled up in Jerusalem where it was comfortable and easy to be a Christian. And Jesus said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts. The gospel came to people like us, the uttermost parts of the earth, because God turned up the heat on the church, scattered them from Jerusalem, and the gospel went to places and eventually reached people like us. So there are times that God uses in his grand plan, a season of persecution. And in those times, the gospel thrives. In that way, I'm optimistic about the near future and what could happen even in our own country as it becomes more difficult to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. It means something today. It might even cost you something. That's all right. The gospel thrives in times like that. And there is an eternal reward waiting in heaven that far outweighs any temporary thing we could enjoy in this earth. Set your affections on things above and get ready for His return. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for today's Something Good radio message, Smyrna, the Persecuted Church. I'm pleased to welcome in Dr. Ron Jones. And Ron, this is the part of the program where I normally ask you a question about the day's message, but today I know you want to talk a little further about suffering for the cause of Christ. And I think what you're about to say just might take some of our listeners by surprise.
I believe it will, Brian. I believe it will. So let me ask you, who do you think would become more like Jesus? Which person would be conformed more closely to His image? The person who adopted a lifestyle of self-denial, submission, and service? Or the person who adopted that same lifestyle of self-denial, submission, and service, yet who also experienced his or her fair share of suffering for the cause of Christ?
Well, Pastor, that sounds to me like something of a rhetorical question, so I'll go with person number two.
Well, you got me, Brian. It's absolutely a rhetorical question, and of course the answer is the second person, which is why suffering persecution for Jesus' sake should be viewed as a gift, not as a punishment. Earlier, I mentioned that the gospel of Jesus Christ thrives during times of persecution. In fact, the church grew by leaps and bounds in the first century, largely because of persecution. But the same is true in the life of the individual believer in Christ. You want to be more like Jesus? You want to have more joy, more peace, more love for God and for others than you've ever had before? Well, endure persecution and hardship because of your Christian faith. Share in the sufferings of Jesus Christ, and you'll experience greater joy, not less. Greater peace, not less. This is a paradox, Brian, but it's true. And this is part of the reason why Jesus tells us not to fear persecution. Because as hard as this might be to believe, the persecution we suffer for the cause of Christ is for our benefit, for the benefit of all who witness it, and ultimately for the benefit of the church as a whole.
I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul, who was eager to join in the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. Thanks for those great words of encouragement today, Pastor. And now, as we wrap things up here on Something Good Radio, how about telling us what's coming our way in your next message?
Yes, and thanks, Brian. Well, we live in a world of compromise, and it's not always a bad thing. We make compromises in marriage all the time. In friendships, in our jobs, even as consumers, we sometimes have to make a compromise or two. But it gets vastly different when it comes to our integrity or moral truth. And that's what happened in the book of Revelation. The church at Pergamum began to make a few compromises as it pertains to the Word of God. Jesus had some rather stern words for the body of believers there. And as I share this upcoming message over the next couple of days, I'd like our listeners to examine themselves to see if maybe anything Jesus said to the church at Pergamum applies to their own life or to the life of their home church. This message, based on the letter to the church at Pergamum, has the potential to be a great opportunity for spiritual growth and development.
That's tomorrow in the next installment of Dr. Ron Jones' teaching series, Ready for His Return. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for listening.